Blog Talk Radio.
Chef Rob, welcome to my Common Sense Show. Excuse me. There's a lot of things to talk about. And every day just seems crazier than the last. I was watching some clips about the, Kramer and Jon Stewart. Yeah, that was kind of funny. But the U.S. has got a financial crisis based on stuff that they were doing on Wall Street, and Kramer seems to know a lot of inside scoop. Kind of shocking to me. While people are hurting, he's making money and keeping his secrets. A lot of people should be thrown in jail. And that was odd. But I was watching the clips. I didn't see the show, but it was actually funny. Let me take a quick break. Enjoy this. Be right back.
But let us leave these two young men to sit and reflect on the fate of the world. For life as we know it, my brother, must go on. And so the hustlers continue to hustle, and the players continue to play.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
Hey, what's up?
Nah.
I'll get out of here, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, you can do it.
Well, you on your way, too?
Up to that. We heard it.
Yeah. I was just up on the app myself, man. What done happened up there?
What? No fun?
I was just running around.
That's cool.
You, man. You, man.
Watching my life go down.
smoke, watching my life go down, watching my life.
How we doing?
Yeah, I was talking about that Kramer John Stewart thing. You know, I was just thinking, you know, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people are losing their jobs every day, but these guys playing games, helping destroy this whole country while they go ahead and get greedy. It was a few things that Kramer said in that John Stewart piece, Comedy Central. That just told me that, hey, look, these guys knew what they were doing from the beginning. And it just feeds into it. They knew exactly what they were doing from the beginning.
It's not like it's an accident. A lot of this was done by design. Kramer also said something that, you know, these guys thought that the markets would, you know, would continue to go up. Everything would go up. They didn't care about stuff going up. It was about the markets going up. The only thing the stuff that they cared about was increasing their bottom line, increasing their profits. That's sad. It just seems like it's a straight path to destruction. Those who don't understand the markets, I don't fully understand it, but it doesn't affect a whole lot of people, not directly. Indirectly, it does. The prices of goods and services. That's where it affects you. This guy Kramer knew, and his buddies, they all knew, because one of the companies, the Lehman Brothers, I think it was, he knew they were going to go down. They all have a lot of inside information. And none of them really made a gallant effort to go ahead and reverse the situation. You know, one thing I don't understand is, don't rich people know? The only thing that makes them rich is that they got poor people. And if you got more poor people, you don't think people are going to eventually rise up against you? It's happened in a lot of societies throughout history. Well, too bad. So sad the greed is going to just destroy in this place. I was paying attention, a little bit of attention, not much today. Had some personal issues I had to deal with. I was looking at how you gotta pay attention to politics. You know, I was looking at how the Republicans are actually trying to switch the focus of what's happening. Slowly and steadily saying, hey, this is all Barack Obama's doing. But they got a slap in the face. Back to the markets again. They were so worried about Dow and how the markets was doing, and there's been gains the last 4 days. So they've been kind of like not saying too much lately, and I think next week it's going to be even better. That breed, that mentality, that Republican, conservative, whatever you want to call it, you know, all these damn labels. That breed just has to stop. It has to stop soon. Need some, you know, Barack Obama is like a big dog catcher exterminator, I feel. Need to stop that mindset. Even though I don't really
support the Democrats a whole lot. You know, traditionally, they got a lot of silliness on their hands, too. I got a lot of nasty things to say about them because of their earliest views and stances on issues. But today's modern Republican is just something you just really should let that breed die off. They mean this place no good, only harm. And anybody that supports that ideology is a bigot, a racist. Because you can't go ahead and support that. What they're saying today, say it makes any damn sense. All right, let me take a quick break here. I don't want to get too wrapped up in this because you'll get emotional. I'll get upset. And I want to throw things. I don't know. Should I throw something? Oh, I never really threw anything. Can't do that in my house too much. Okay. Hello. Back once again. Yeah, I was talking about how that Kramer and Jon Stewart fight, that was real interesting. That Kramer knew he has a whole lot of inside information, so he knew that the markets were going to collapse. He also encouraged people to buy bad stocks. Ridiculous. Sickening. Sad. So, let's switch focus real quick here. You know, I always like to talk about the Family Medical and Leave Act and how it's ruining people. I know of a lot of people that relied on that Family Medical Leave Act to save their jobs. I was one of them. They didn't do nothing but just let us go. Kind of a good thing I had something else to fall back on. But I know a lot of people are hurting really bad because they were not covered under the Family Medical Leave Act. And you should be covered under the Americans with Disabilities Act now, shouldn't you? You should, but employers seem to ignore a lot of that. And, of course, George Bush, they had to revise it. And one of the revisions that really sticks out, I don't have the whole list in front of me. One of the revisions, yeah, Kramer has a comedy show. One of the revisions to the Family Medical Leave Act was you have to go ahead and call your employer when you ahead of time and schedule your time off. They want you, and what they're saying is they want you to let them know in advance that you're going to be sick. Yeah. I want you to let them know in advance you're going to be sick. Now, how can you schedule your illness? I remember once I was a union steward. I was helping represent this lady once, and she was pregnant, and they were denying her family medical leave for a pregnancy. They said it wasn't a serious health condition. They needed to see more. They said her paperwork wasn't correct. It wasn't filled out correct. Then they said that her condition wasn't a serious health condition. So that's something to keep you in the loop, to keep you going back and forth and back and forth. But I came across a list of these just common violations for the Family Medical Leave Act. They will deny you and deny you and deny you. This one... I got like a list of, 20 common. I don't want to read them all, I'll just read a couple. But they like to harass you to get clarity. Clarity and clarity. Yeah, I'm reading this stuff in the chat, that's crazy. Yeah, they like to keep you going back and forth to the doctor. Keep you going back and forth to the doctor. Keep you in that circle. Keep coming up with little idiotic ways to go ahead and so they can just not approve your certification. This is what they want to do is they want to get rid of you. They really want to get rid of you. And they try hard to get rid of you. But the thing about it is they constantly come up with ways, different employers. Because I thought it was just isolated to the agency I was working for, but it's different employers. They constantly come up with ways to go ahead and say that your forms are not filled out correctly. When I talked to a person at the Department of Labor, and she said legally they have it, that they're right. You know, your forms are not filled out correctly. But where you have a leg to stand on here is if they approve it, certify anyone in your area and not certify you, you have a leg to stand on, you know, you can start filing with the EEOC because it's discrimination. I was trying to get a friend of mine to call in who represents a lot of EEO cases. Unfortunately, we cannot contact him right now, so I'm still stuck like a sailor on a boat. What we got here, I'll check it out, Spice. Hello, Antoinette. See, I'm surrounded by my real closest friends once again. I appreciate you. what we have here. Oh, man. Now, that's nothing new. That's nothing new. Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm very strange that it be up. Long Island black man. Yeah. Change focus just a little bit. Yeah, these guys are all tied into the cocaine that's coming from South America. You did, Antoinette. Antoinette, call in. I got a question for you. Got a few questions for you. Because I know that I know a lot of people that they've been treated wrong. Relying on the Family Medical Leave Act. And it's there to protect you. Automatically, you're supposed to be certified. One of the issues I had when I was trying to help represent people, and even for myself, was you'd go through this whole process of getting the form filled out, and then they tell you that they can't read the doctor's signature. That was a big one. That one really used to kill me. I said, why should I have to go back to the doctor? You know, here's his phone number. You can read that. Give him a call. They didn't want to do that. He said, you got to sign a release form and everything. It make no sense to me. So they'll play that game with you for a while. For a long time until they get sick of playing with you. Another one. Okay. I got a call on the line here. If I can get this right. 302, come on in.
Hello, Truth. How are you?
How you doing, Antoinette? Just call me Rob.
Okay. Hello, Rob.
How you feel?
Oh, I'm fine. I can't complain today.
Not today?
Which is good. Yes, which is good.
Which is good?
Yeah.
May not have been a good day.
Pardon me?
It may not have been a good day yet.
Look, so far.
So far, it ain't over with. Yeah, right. You had problems with the Family Medical Leave before?
Well, not really. I didn't too much deal with the medical leave.
Mm-hmm.
I dealt with basically like EOC cases, discrimination.
Oh.
Even though that is a form of discrimination. But mine was more of the racist discrimination.
So you
within the state.
What was it? What do you mean? You used it for 4 weeks? What does that mean?
No, I said I worked for.
Oh, okay.
Before I worked,
oh.
I used to work for the EEOC chairman.
Okay, so okay now.
In Delaware as administrator assistant.
Really, and so you saw a lot of these cases.
Yes.
So it's just blatant discrimination. Like I was saying, I'm a veteran with a disability. They told me that wasn't a serious health condition.
You know what most disability cases, what you, and it's sad, but in order for you to win most discrimination cases,
mm-hmm.
you have to also, for them to really give it to you, you have to be on some kind of psych meds. I'm serious. Look, for 2 brain surgeries, and for the second one, they called me while I was in the hospital.
Yeah.
To have the second aneurysm removed.
Oh.
They called me while I was in the hospital. I was still denied.
Your job?
Well, I had already left my job.
So who called you? Who called you?
Social Security did.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
But what I have found is that, first off, when you're black, it's harder to get it when you're black.
Oh, yeah, I was trying to get my buddy to call in because he represents a few people. And I know,
it's hard
know
to get it when you're black.
He represents
but
a lot of
also,
black.
But you have to be on some type of psych meds. You know, even if you just say that you're depressed and You just make sure that you get the prescriptions filled and don't take it. But in order for you to win, you basically have to have, you know, you have to be on some kind of psych meds.
Talk to my FMLA.
That's a shame, Spicy, but it's true.
Hello, Internet.
And another thing is, don't try to get an attorney in the state that you live in.
Why you say that?
Because they are more afraid of out-of-state attorneys. Keep in mind, the attorneys that are in your state, their license are held in that state.
So getting an attorney in your state is just not a good deal?
No. Not when you're going to fight against the state. You want an out-of-state attorney. I'm telling you, those were the cases that worried us the most.
So how long were you at EEOC?
For a year and a half.
Wow. And I know you've seen quite a few things. I want to go ahead and I got another call online. My friend's called in, so I want him to go ahead and briefly touch on a few things.
Yeah, good.
He's saying, Ken, you still there?
Yes.
Ken, briefly tell me about some of the situations you've encountered. Represent people dealing with the EEOC and discrimination.
Okay, first of all, my name is Ken Reed. Me and this other sister named by the name of Anita Hatcher are part of the Noah Rassman Foundation, which we handle like various EEO cases. And some of the cases we have handled were some FMLA cases, which the more that we did these cases, the more we became aware of the fact that EEOC, in my eyesight, from doing these cases and following these EEOs, seem to be, I like to say, working in collusion with management, especially at one of the facilities that I was at.
And where do you work here?
Powhatan PNC.
It's a post office.
Yeah, in Powhatan PNC. And
where's that at? I'm sorry, what state is that in?
That's in Illinois, Powhatan, Illinois.
Oh, okay.
And it seems that that the cases we were filing with only black employees were getting their FMLA denied initially. And I was like one of the first employees to get their FMLA denied. And what happened was that, the FMLA coordinator, for some reason, they had given her the authority to act as a doctor or something. And she kept sending us back to the doctor for the same condition, right? Which later on I found out that she didn't supposed to have been doing that because it was a rule in a various rule that was in the that specified that if you send an employee back to the doctor for the same condition more than one, it becomes a clarification issue. And if it becomes a clarification issue, that employee or the postal doctor has to send an employee like an authorization form to get permission from that employee so the postal doctor can talk to that employee's doctor. And the FMLA coordinators wasn't doing that. And we come to find out of, say for instance, they say they handle 5,000 cases a year. We go back like 3 years. Say for instance, they handle like 15,000 cases. And they've been sending, especially the black employees, back to the doctor for the same condition more than once, which they never abided by that regulation by getting, letting it become a clarification issue and letting the postal doctor send the authorization form to the employee so that employee can, a doctor can talk to the postal doctor and they can clear up that clarification issue. So basically what she was doing was racially profiling all the black employees, and she would use that as a reason for why she was denying them. But then at the same time, the black employees are not being aware
that's what was going on.
So they had been calling in, say, since they might, you know, for about 3 months. And then she would, after 3 months, then she would call them down, send them a letter, say that, you know, their FMLA was not FMLA approved, and those absences was not FMLA covered. And then they would, in turn, use those absences as discipline, which they never gave that employee a chance to even file a grievance within a 14-day period, you know.
No, they have to.
And here's something else. You mentioned about that 14-day period, about filing that grievance. That union that you were working with, they were on the side of management. That one I know.
Yeah.
That's
what we know right now. Our union, is in collusion with management, this thing with this FMLA is crucial because it's not just happening with FMLA. I'm talking about as far as the racial profiling. It's happening with OWCP cases as far as black employees are always the one being targeted and being terminated for just silly things. They terminated one employee, it was a female, a sister, for, OWCP violation, alleged violation, because they caught her carrying an 8-ounce cup holder and a 16-ounce cup coming out of McDonald's, and she had a 5-pound restriction limit, which she was well within her restriction limit by carrying that cup holder and that 16-ounce pot, which didn't amount to no more than 2 pounds. And then another sister they fired because they saw her at the casino. And see, what happened is when you're on OWCP, OWCP have two different guidelines. You know, you have to go by OWCP standards, guidelines. You can't go by, the Postal Service guidelines. And so they fired her without even going by OWCP guidelines. She did the EO and got her job back. Then in the time, it was another sister. This one here is ridiculous. This is the one I'm trying to work on right now, and they fighting it tooth and nail. It was a sister by the name of Gertrude Pugh. Gertrude Pugh, who around by, back in 2003, had a grant. She was on OWCP, but she had a work-study grant, and that work-study grant, she was working at Triton College, I believe. And what happened was that inspectors came out and found out that she was working there, and they alleged that she didn't report her work-study earnings on a CA-7 form, which she stated that she thought she didn't have to because it was part of her grant money, and grant money is like it's a grant. It's not really like you earning a wage or anything like that. So what happened was
– And it's income.
Right. So what happened was that the inspectors that investigated, they don't have the authority to fire you, but what they do, they get their investigation and they report it to the head of human resources and the plant manager.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're the one that make the decision if they'll fire you or not. So what happened within this 2 or 3 year span, 3 black female employees, of which Ms. Q was one of them, inspectors investigated for alleged violations and they made the decision to terminate her. But what happened, there's a rule in the AM that states that the Postal Service cannot really terminate an employee. What OWCP has to have a final say in that because they do their own investigation. But what they will do is take information from the inspectors or from and take that into consideration. So what happened was that Ms. Pugh filed the EEO, and this EEO was did by somebody, a union steward, like a white union steward, a female union steward. And what happened was she told Ms. Pugh that after they came out the redress that she didn't have to file an individual complaint. But you know that if you don't file an individual complaint, that your case do not get accepted for investigation. At the same time, this white union steward who's supposed to be an expert in OWCP, you know, as far as doing cases in OW for representing employees, she knew that Ms. Pugh was going to get a hearing from OWCP to determine if, you know, her innocence or her non-innocence. And so what happened was they rushed her case to arbitration before she can get that OWCP hearing. And so they ruled against her in arbitration, the head of human resources. And
did she have an attorney?
She never did have an attorney because what happened was she was just depending on the white union steward, what she was saying, because she believed that, you know, she was, you know, wouldn't do
they
it
would
like
do
that.
Right by her.
They would do right by her. So, okay, so after she lost the case in arbitration, she had an OWCP hearing, and OWCP found out that they ruled that she was not guilty of what she was fired for.
Mm-hmm.
But they still never gave her job back. But at the same time, it was three white females during the same time period that the inspectors had investigated for violating the OWCP. Now, the plant manager being white and the head of human resources being white, they swept those incidents up under the rug, so none of the three white female employees will even have to, you know, do an EEO or file a grievance or anything like that. So they just kept their jobs because they was white. Now, at Palatine PDC, those are just a couple cases that, we have a, like, experience in a lot of racial profiling. We even had a situation where they hung hangman nooses up, and they tried to sweep that up under the rug, try to lie about it. You know, it wasn't hangman nooses, but people took pictures on their phones and sent it to their emails and printed it out that, you know, we have a serious problem with, like, a hate group there. What I mean by a hate group, I mean about we have these white management officials and they're working for different agencies. It might be EEOC, it might be
mm-hmm.
union, it might be management, but it might be human resources, but they're all working in collusion. Like when a black employee has been charged with doing something, either they get disciplined right away, or they get their case moved up to arbitration real quick, and they lose the arbitration. But when a white employee in the same or similar situation does the same thing as that black employee, what happens is either
mm-hmm.
they sweep it under the rug, or number two, if they do file a grievance, it's settled, it's like in a step two. It don't ever go to arbitration. And if it does make it to arbitration, they, 9 times out of 10, they win the arbitration, as opposed to that black employee, 9 times out of 10, they're going to lose that arbitration. So that's where black employees are being racially profiled when it comes to discipline, OWCP, FMLA, you name it, at our facility. You know.
And yours is federal? Yours is
federal.
Yeah. We
federal. So, Antoinette, how would you handle one of those cases?
Federal? No, I never did federal. I did state. But I, you know, still what I can tell you is out of state, you don't want the same state lawyer. You want an out of state lawyer. Because when you have an out of state lawyer.
Okay, my question is, how would you get an out of state lawyer? You get somebody to go ahead and get them come over here or whatever to a new state. How would you go ahead and do that without them charging you an arm and a leg? It's hard to find somebody like that, especially and what deal with the cases that Kenny's dealing with. On that level, the federal level, it seems like almost no attorney wants to mess with that. One attorney.
It's hard. That is hard. But if you have a group of people where I assume that y'all are documenting everything.
Yeah.
And every instance, you know, of every instance, because one thing is always important is that your paperwork is in order. You know, when you make a call to report something, you put down the date and time, who you spoke to, you know, what was said, what was promised, or, you know, whatever else, that you keep accurate records. Also, when you're out for a sick leave, regardless of whatever the sick leave is for, it's better not to be seen doing anything. You know, I mean, I understand the woman carrying the soda, you know, is only, you know, maybe 2 pounds. But just the idea that she was out walking around carrying it, and if her limit is 5 pounds, but you're carrying this and it's still, okay, well, this is still stress on your back because you're walking and carrying it. I mean, I know, which is crazy. But it's just, it's so many things that they will use against you. So it's better to, you know, basically not be seen, you know, to, during that time, to act like an invalid, you know, have everybody or anybody else do everything for you. You know, if you're out, have somebody open the door for you and help you in the car, even though you don't need the help. You know, everything you do, you got to always look at, is somebody watching me? Because they're watching. See, whenever it comes to them giving out money, they watching you.
Yeah,
so they're going to watch every move you make.
So
when it comes to filing your paperwork and everything, you ask for a copy and you ask for them to stamp and date it that they received it.
Yeah, see, we didn't get to the point now where, you know, we didn't get so many cases and got so many investigative files where they investigated and, you know, they got so many affidavits and investigations that they pretty much only want to do, you know, they don't even show up for the redresses no more, in which we filed a class action EO on that, because the people in EO who make the decisions letting the managers off the hook for even participating in the redresses, because, see, one thing, when you go to the redress, they'll tell you that, the mediator is a neutral party. She don't have no power to make a decision one way or another. But what she does do is she'll tell you in the redress, though, if it's a crime, she has to report a crime.
And yes, and it sounds like it's criminal when, you know, they're not addressing, you know, anytime it's a discrimination, regardless of what the discrimination is, and it's not being addressed, and it's not being handled, then see,
that's a crime.
You said you're in the state of Illinois, then the state of Illinois is, they're held accountable because they are committing a crime of discrimination, regardless of, and that's the reason why I said you have to get an out-of-state lawyer. And usually if you go to one of the bigger firms, they will, you know, take on the case, and, you know, they win the case, they're going to take their 33%.
Commend any lawyer, any attorneys?
I don't know. I don't live in Illinois. I live in Delaware, so I'm sorry.
They may have some links here.
Yeah, that's why I said you should, you know, but it's usually better to go out of state. You know, you want an attorney that, whenever you're going to go to fight your state, you don't want your state attorney. You don't want an attorney from your state.
You know, I said before on another show that I had a case where I was looking at doing some time, and the problem I had was spending the morning in court, and then the afternoon, I'm getting ready to leave, my car wasn't available, so I had to take the bus. But I walked by a restaurant that was called The Verdict, and I seen the judge that was dealing with my case, my attorney, the district
with the plastic, with the other attorney.
Yeah, I seen this and a few other people that were around the courtroom, all sitting there having, you know, drinking and laughing and joking. I agree with that out-of-state thing because that really, really bugged me. I said, hey, I didn't already pay this guy $3,000, and you sitting over there laughing and joking with the enemy.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm telling you, that's the cases that we had, the ones that scared us the most were the ones that were taken out-of-state. Because, see, then we don't have time to do our full investigation. We don't really have time to prepare. You know, you're not given the time that, you know, had we been given the case first, then we could have went and investigated and did everything that we needed to do.
Okay, so what you're saying is get an attorney, file a case, and then come back to EEO?
No, because then that attorney will contact the EEOC chairman. Your attorney then takes all of that matter in their hands. So they contacted them. We didn't. So then you can't even, your state can't even really go out and question them without your attorney from the other state being present.
Okay.
And since you have a group of people, then see, when you go to another attorney out of state, then you have, you know, look, it's not just us. It's, you know, here, here, and here, and here, and here.
Right.
And,
if the NAACP
was doing what they were supposed to be doing, then you could go to them. But they've really been lax and lazy on a lot of cases that, you know, as I said, in Delaware, we had a big one where the NAACP dropped it, and it involved three states. It was to the point where it was a guy that had a cone that was burnt on top of his head.
Yeah, see, the problem with the post office is this, with the federal government, is this is the problem. Now, you can get an outside lawyer, but see, with the post office, they can finagle you.
You're dealing with federal.
For years. Now,
yeah.
I'll give you a perfect example. This white lady worked there. She had a case. She went down there. They won her, like, I don't know, $100,000+. Now, she told the sister about it. So the sister found white on the phone. She got on the phone, started talking to him. She said, yeah, my friend referred me to you. So they thought she was white. They said, yeah, we're going to hook you up just like you get your friend. Come on down here. She got down there. They told who she was. And they was like, they told her then, well, you know, we thought we could do something for you, but we can't. That's the thing about the, you know, especially the post office I met. They will not play a black employee, you know. But, you know, if you get an outside lawyer, they, you know, if a white person get an outside lawyer, you know, if they chose to deal with them, most of the time they do choose to deal with them, then they'll work something out with them. If a black employee get an outside lawyer, they will finagle that black employee lawyer, just keep them on a strain. They can, you know, make them play along for years, you know, because, you know, that's the way they do business with black employees. I mean, they get lawyers and stuff.
But, you know, see, if you get an attorney where, okay, the, you know, you said the one woman that went, and once they found out that she was black, then see what she needs, she should have reported them to the Bar Association.
Mm-hmm. Well, my thing now is,
she should have reported them.
My thing now is, like, really to take this stuff to the Justice Department, because they didn't got to the point now where, you know, they didn't violate it. I'm talking about EEOC. They're supposed to represent their employees. You know, they violate their rules and regulations just to make amends with management, so they won't have to, be naming some of these violations. So, you know,
they work for the state, and the way how, you know, all the states are now, you know, nobody wants to give up any money. Nobody wants to admit any wrongdoing. The less they have to pay out, the better.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly what it is. And they keep letting the same people who keep on doing the same thing. They don't, they don't have to suffer no repercussions. So they keep doing the same thing to the same black employees and stuff. So
now, have any of y'all put in for went to the doctor and started, you know, I'm depressed, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because all this is
going to
medication for it, you know, because that is the one thing that will push them to pay you.
Yeah.
Is that once you're on any kind of psych medicine, then, you know, that's why I said get it and don't take it.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah,
you know,
totally.
You always got to watch what you're doing. You know, don't. You know, if you say that, you know, you're disabled, when you're out in the street, even out in your yard or whatever, don't do anything. You know, just keep in mind, somebody's watching because they want to catch you up to make you have to pay.
Mm-hmm. Because that's why I don't mess with the OWCP. You know, the OWCP, once you get on that, you know, especially if you're black,
it doesn't matter what color you are. It don't matter what color you are.
Well, at my job, if you're white, I had a bunch of cases. If you're white, they catch you, then they don't make no difference. They don't do nothing to you. Because it's not up to, like, the inspectors who investigate you. It's up to the plant manager, and it's up to the head of human resources. And both of them is like, you know, in my opinion, like KKK types. And my job, you know, we got like one a female employee and stuff. Robert Kelly know about her. And this sister get drunk every other day, be off the clock, outside, on the clock, every other day. This been going on for years. I said she probably had 1,000 violations by now. 1,000.
And you know what they'll use her disability as? She has an illness.
But she hasn't been approved for family medical leave.
It is still be. Because she is an alcoholic, you got to remember they consider alcoholism.
I understand that, but it's a thing in the AM. In the AM, it tells you this.
She hasn't been diagnosed.
If you get caught intoxicated, number one, that's automatic termination.
Right.
Automatic termination until you. Now, getting caught one time, I'm talking about this is 1,000 times. You know? We didn't get situations where black employees get caught one time. They get fired up and stuff. They're going to be out there for a year or two. They brought this. They let the thing with this particular female employee, it posed an automatic termination, but they gave her administrative leave. She didn't lose a day of pay. So it was like she never really even was disciplined. It never was automatic termination. Now she get automatic termination, then she goes check herself into one of those rehab programs, and she gone for 5 or 6 months and stuff without no pay, then come and get her job back. Then I can understand that. But for, you know, to come back just to be gone for like maybe a couple months with pay, no. Automatic termination, you don't get no back pay. They pay this woman back pay. But in the same or similar situation, a black employee do the same thing, no. They're going to be out there for a year or two before they even get their job back.
You know what? That's always been the case. No, I think that's no matter where you are. You know, I remember coming up, my mother used to always tell me, you have to be better than the white man. You have to know more. You have to study harder. You know, everything has to be better. You have to be on your P's and Q's more. You know, and it's still the same way today. I mean, and it's bad because it shouldn't have to be that way.
I'm glad she did that because, you know, she's going to get a bunch of people their job back because I didn't got a bunch of people their jobs back just by isolating the white person that did. I'm making an example of them. Say, okay, the white person did that, and they don't want to investigate the white person, so they just go and bring the brother back. You know, you catch them up like that. So,
they got to really watch their back to make sure that they're doing everything that they're supposed to do so that they can't come back later on them because they're going to be harder on them because they watch. They're watching. They're waiting for them to make a mistake now.
Well, that's always, you know, especially at college time period, you see they're waiting for you to make a mistake. But the best way to fight them is just to gather information, you know.
Yeah,
and
that's why I said make sure that you have everything, you know, everything documented. Every time you talk to them, every time anything, you document it, you put down the time, you know, you put down what was said, who said what, you know, what time it was said, who it was said, you know, where it was said at. So that way, when you have everything documented and you have it all together, it shows that you were keeping your facts together, your paperwork is together. And they look at that because that shows how serious you are that, you know, okay, I'm not there to make some money.
Well, so this point now.
You know, you took the time to actually, you know, document this, that this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And this needs
now,
to be addressed.
Right. We're to the point now where, you know, they, you know, we'll do an EO, but they're going to send an investigator out anyway. And then the investigator.
Yeah, well, they're supposed to send an investigator out there. That's supposed to be automatic.
Right. So once the investigator asks them the questions and whatever they say to the investigator, you know, that's going to become fact. You know, so they to the point now where they're scared of doing EOs, you know, tell the truth about it. That's why they want to show up for redressers. You know, we done took them to court already, got them all in court and won in court, so they don't even want to go to court no more. So,
Internet,
yes.
Would it be wise to advise someone to get a pro bono lawyer? So, and the reason I think that is because all the lawyers that advertised on TV, okay, was it in to have a big firm or not? The advertised on TV, if you go pro bono, and then you win the case after the lawyer and individual, if they should do something. This way, it don't seem like you paying your astronomical price for the court case. Because I've seen it happen twice. It happened to my mother before she got MS. Because she had, she used to work for Entermans in Brentwood, New York. And she got, cellulitis in her hand because she had a wound on her hand and two of the heavy, bookkeeping records because she was a payroll. They fell on her hand within weeks. Her hands were up, according to the writers. And they had to do, put her in a hospital to do a cut down on her hand. Then they skin grafted, so she had to go through all the therapies I have. And then the other case is a friend of mine. She hurt herself on a job. So her needle cut through. Sorry. Her needle bit, and she had several operations on her knees and her jaws. So within both cases, even though they had lawyers in the same state, I remember going down to the compensation office and them always delaying the process. Do you think if they had an out-of-state lawyer, do you think the process would have been as elongated as it was?
Yeah, it's still a long, drawn-out process.
What's the,
because
okay,
they
okay,
have
okay,
to investigate and everything. They still have to investigate it. And, you know, out-of-state attorney, it may have even been longer because they're more thorough because they know when they're coming after states that it's, you know, they really have to have their P's and Q's. Usually when you're dealing with one state in a discrimination matter, you want to go to the EEOC of the next state.
Oh,
you know,
cool.
Like for Delaware, the biggest one for us was the EEOC of Philadelphia.
Okay, so in Chicago, maybe you should go, I was about to say Detroit. But
you know, I mean, you would know on, you know, your side of the country, which is the better state. You know, Philadelphia is a big thing for us in Delaware.
Well,
Delaware is a small state, so a lot of people will go over. The smart ones would, okay, will go over us, and they would go right to Philadelphia.
I have another question. Being that I'm on Long Island, okay, I went upstate to a lawyer, put a case as to upstate. Would that apply? Because they're not in my surrounding area. So,
you can get that from the the legal directory, go online. You can go online and look at the legal directories of attorneys, you know, for what what it is, you know, that exactly that you're looking for. See, yours is an EOC. Yours is more like malpractice.
Right.
So you wouldn't necessarily, for yours, Spicy, you wouldn't need to have an out-of-state attorney. You know, you could deal with an attorney right in your state because it's not, you're not fighting the state. You're, you know, you're fighting doctors.
Okay, so but for the postal employees or other federal employees, because I know people work in other agencies that have the same problem that can't. He's hung up, by the way. I hope he calls back in.
Now, federal, I don't really know. You know, as I said, I worked for the state.
Okay.
So, and I worked in, you know, as far as with state employees. You know, I handled the state cases, you know, within state employees.
Okay.
That, you know, they had problems in different state offices where, you know, they were claiming discrimination. And but I do know.
You ever come across any veteran cases dealing with veterans?
Not for the state.
Not for the state?
Not for the state.
Better than
Because now, see, when it came to the state, if it was ever a federal case, you know, where it was veterans or anything like that, you know, they usually went to private attorneys or, you know, somewhere within the VA.
See, I've looked throughout the VA, and they really don't have nothing. They want you to get an attorney. I haven't seen anything, and I'm still looking. A lot of times they try to get over to, you know, consult with your local politician. I've done that. I've got a whole lot of these letters from them. They tell me that, hey, my case is still in litigation. Well, they came up with a bunch of reasons why not to go ahead and deal with my case. And mine is pretty much, it's cut and dry. Like he was trying to explain to you, like Kenny was trying to explain to you how they do. They got their set of people that they go ahead and they'll certify. And
yeah.
And they don't, I know people that they've had, they've developed illnesses or sicknesses while they're on a job. Well, my thing was, and just like with my attorney, he said, well, I came to the job with this illness, with this condition, and now you're questioning it. And they had no reason to question it.
No,
you know?
And that's true. And that's when, honestly and truly, you go to, and, you know, that's when it's going to cost you, but you go to a firm. You go to a legal firm, you know, a big one, and you try to get them to take your case on. You get paid if you, you know, you win.
You know, I already have an attorney. Right now I'm at the point where I want to switch attorneys. I have an attorney
you can still
already.
Do that.
I can get another attorney because this guy's been dealing my case. It's gone on 2 years.
Yeah, sometimes it takes that. But, you know, as I said, if you get, I mean, and, you know, it's not for you to say now on the air or anything like that because that's, you know, your personal business. But honestly and truly, get on psych meds, tell them you're depressed. You know, I know men don't like to say they cry, but you're crying and, you know, everything else, you're depressed, you can't deal with your family. If you're married, you know, you can't even have sex with your wife because, you know, I'm sorry, but this is just.
I know what you're saying. I know, well, see, because, a lot of that's documented with me. I got also a PTSD, so I have a hard time sleeping.
Yeah,
so,
but see, now you make it worse.
Yeah.
You know, you say because of this is impacting.
Yep, good.
And that, you know, my condition has worsened now because of
the
added stress.
The VA already said my condition has worsened. They already sent me they increased my disability rating.
To increase your medication. I'm sorry, y'all. I have to get this. This is my daughter-in-law, Polly, telling me she's coming to get to me.
Okay.
So just give me 1 second, please.
Problem. I want you to come back.
Who?
Yeah.
Just act crazy like me. I couldn't get no sense, that's all.
Well, they're fully aware of what I'm capable of doing. They already got me seeing a bunch of VAs, got me seeing a lot of people.
Okay, I'm sorry. Told you that was my daughter-in-law telling me she was coming to get the baby.
Sometimes, even though you've done it, but show them not to be, not, just act, look nearly, just act like you really are to me. You take your meds, you do this, you're seeing a psychiatrist 3 times, 2x a month, you're seeing a therapist 4 times a month, and you're super strong.
Well.
Basically, that's what you gotta say to get things across. And have it documented.
Documented
through the VA. They know about that. I still have to see doctors like 3 to 4 times a month, 2 to 3 times a month. So they already know. I have to go in and see the orthopedic surgeon. Then they go ahead and see me to see the head shrink.
Yeah, but you know what? You have to now really. You have to make it worse than what it was, than what it actually is or what it was. You see, you have to.
What, put my life in danger in the military?
No, you just have to. No, I don't want you to do that.
But, well, I had already done that, so they know better than that. You know, the thing about it is, and I tell them all the time, I may laugh a lot of times with you guys. A lot of times I'm real pissed off, so I use that laughter to hide my anger. But I wouldn't, you know.
I knew that. Ha ha.
Yeah, but
I just don't see nothing.
You know, you need your medication increased.
Oh, they gave me a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, but you need it increased.
Yeah.
You see, no matter what you get, it's not helping. See, never let them know what they're giving you is working. You see what I'm saying? It's never working. It's never.
They know that. They know that.
No, but see, you really stress it.
Yeah.
You know, man, I just can't handle it. I can't sleep. I'm going crazy. I'm pacing the floors all night long. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I hear a sound. I'm jumping. Lord, something's at the window. And then I'm looking. I keep thinking that I'm hearing something. I keep thinking that I'm hearing something. You know,
hold
man,
on,
I'm going to pop the crap out of my wife. You know, I mean, it's just.
Antoinette.
Yeah. Huh?
You following me? Because that's happening right now.
No, baby, I'm not following you. But, you know, it's just that you have to really put the emphasis on it because nobody wants to pay out any money right now. You know, look at the condition that our government is in. So that makes it even worse now for you to get anything from the government.
You know,
they don't
want to
acknowledge that.
Yeah, Butterfly put something in the chat. She's like, "How many?"
I'm sorry, I'm not in there. I'm not by my computer.
Let me read it to you. How many people waiting? Even some Vietnam vets, even some vets from the Vietnam War is just now getting some money, or you know, they're just acknowledging a problem. Yeah, that was most true for like. Post-traumatic stress and
yeah,
and stuff like that. But for me, my problem is orthopedic. Okay, I've had surgeries and stuff, so mine is a little bit different. But,
were you over in the recent? Were you over in this war?
No, I had spent some time with the in the first one, not this thing here.
Oh, in the Desert Storm.
In the first, that crap there,
Okay, so they know that it was a lot of mess that came back from that.
Right.
That, okay, because, no, see, my nephew had came back from this one here, and he was on the front line for a year or two. You know, he was there from the beginning. And, he says he's okay, but he won't talk about anything. You know,
it'll be a while before he can talk about it. It'll be a while. He's going to be like that for a while.
gonna be like
yeah,
that.
Well, he's been home for like a year and a half, 2 years now, but he's still. Now he'll talk to my son. He'll talk to my son. They'll talk, but he won't. You know, to me, he'll just tell me, "Oh, Aunt Ned, I'm okay. Don't worry about it." You know, and I just look at him. You know, "You sure, baby? You sure?" "Yeah, Aunt Ned, I'm sure."
He don't want to talk about it because it, you know, to see somebody burnt to a crisp, you know, it ain't a cool thing, or their guts hanging out. So, and then after a while, you get desensitized. So it's like the norm. I remember guys going ahead and out, you know, parts of people's skull out their boots while they're eating. So it's crazy. But it's just the thing about it is that like you know why I'm doing this show is because I know that me having that issue. My job told me it wasn't an issue, told me it wasn't serious, and management challenged it. And I know of other vets that have been going through the same thing. And see, I was working with Kenny, the guy who was on earlier. We've seen a lot of stuff. And I was working with him, and I was slowly getting away from I was one of the union stores. So I've seen a lot of cases like that. And when Kenny and Anita started their group, I wanted to work closely with them, and I just couldn't go ahead and no longer be a part of our local union because they were siding with management all the time.
Yeah, you know, but there's one thing that is good, and that is that there's so many vets now that are fighting for their rights, you know, that they're suffering. You know, it's too many vets that are homeless, you know, that addicted to drugs, you know, so many different things that are happening now, and it's time for somebody to pay attention.
The veteran thing is only an issue during campaign time. That's it. That's the only time.
Yeah, but, you know, y'all have to keep it in the limelight.
It's hard to.
Which is hard.
Yeah, Butterfly wrote something in the room. She said her mom died from complications from the Desert Storm, and had an open case.
Yeah, she was very good. She's sleeping. Excuse me, y'all. I'm going to put on mute so y'all don't hear me, but I hear y'all, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and ramble for a minute.
Okay, go ahead, Ann.
Butterfly, you need to call in. I need to talk to you about it. I got to ask you a few questions about that. Still, I still think that was your mom and she was taking care of you, especially if you were a minor. You're supposed to go ahead and receive some of those benefits.
Yep.
You're supposed to receive. Also, and I don't know if it's too late. I'm not sure about that, but you're supposed to receive some of those benefits.
Yep.
They got a whole. They would. I forgot how it's going. Let me remember. I can't remember the wording. Better yet, let me find the site. Because I know there are a lot of instances where you know the. Parents, you know, they have someone that died from serving the military. A lot of times their kids get taken care of for a minute, for a while. And still, there are a lot of benefits, like government jobs and health care, housing. I got to find it. Trying to find that site real quick. There are lots of benefits available for you. If your mom, she died from that. Maybe you should have pushed the paperwork just a little bit more because I know there are a lot of benefits out there for people like that. You on the line? No. There are a lot of benefits, and there are quite a few things that are available. I need to find the site real quick. I look at it so much, I can't remember where it's at right now. But I know a lot of vets that are out here homeless. I had a friend of mine a few years ago, a couple of friends of mine, you know, they took their lives and stuff. And it was for various reasons, but a lot of stuff was related to their military service. And the VA is, actually the health part about the VA has gotten a whole lot better. A whole lot better. It was a time where you can go ahead and call into the doctor and you wanted to go ahead and get an appointment to see a doctor and you may, and this is March, you may not see the doctor until maybe May or June. They've cut that down. I'm glad they cut down a lot of that time. because that was just truly, really, really, really just outrageous. You know, you're in pain today and you need to see the doctor today or tomorrow. And
cool.
I can even deal with even next week. But at that time, they were telling us, hey, you know, it's a long waiting list. And there's no reason for them to be on the staff and on demand like that.
True.
Yes, baby.
I told her, like, well, even if her mother wasn't, even if her mother wasn't a vet and she was underage, she could still see benefits from
this.
Yes,
she can. And if she can show that she was like, I think it's like the age limit. Like if she was even under 23 or she's living a month, there's a lot of benefits for you. I put the website for the VA. I can't remember it specifically, but I'm gonna find some of the. There's a lot of I think it's the UC codes. There's a lot of them that apply to a vet.
But I asked her if she was getting her benefits. She told me no. Then I told her she should pick up where her mother left school.
Yeah, she can. I really believe she can. Here, I put something else here. I'm trying to get the. This is another start. We'll put this other link in the chat. And.
Kirsty, I'm a bit of traumatic brain injury.
Okay.
Oh, that's how they choose to classify me as. I fool them every time.
Really?
Yep. Oh, she got a brain injury. As soon as they hear about my friend got a brain injury, she knows what she's doing. Yeah, I got some people like that.
Well, I know. I just have some crazy dreams at night, you know, sometimes. So they call them flashbacks, but I just say they're dreams. But you try to deal with them.
But it depends on how they call flashbacks and you call them dreams. It depends on how the person defines those images. If you define them as dreams and they define them as flashbacks, what do they say? Are they ready to move on or they want? In some ways, their injury is just like a brain injury because they see all the hard graphics of the war.
Yeah.
A lot of times, they must still sit back there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. See, here's something else. With a lot of veterans, especially a lot of black vets and other minorities, they have it a whole lot harder than others. A lot of times, one thing that I'm trying to go ahead and set up now is a big rally, a big party for a lot of black vets coming home. Because I don't see that. I don't see, you know, the welcome home, the big welcome home parties. I see it for a lot of whites. And I see a little bit of Hispanics do it a little bit. But for whites, they go ahead and they create this big, you know, coming home thing here. So that's what I'm working on right now. And hopefully I can have my first one in another month or so. But
that'd be good. That'd be really good.
Yeah,
I think that's important.
Yeah, because we don't get that kind of support when you come home.
No,
like,
you don't get the media works or anything like that. The media showing.
No,
the person also shows that we as a black family appreciate them for what they did for us, although we don't approve. Of who started it, we do appreciate them.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know what?
But that's always been the case when it came to blacks in the military, when it, you know, every war, you know, it's never mattered. They, blacks were never given the recognition.
Oh, you know, it's something else. I was also in uniform in Missouri. I was stationed in Missouri for a little while, and I also was stationed in Mississippi. You believe I had kind of more racism in Missouri than I did in Mississippi? I really thought it would be the opposite. And I always, for me, I was always like, I don't want to go there. Even though my mom's from Mississippi and stuff, I'd say, I don't want to go down there. I always, to me, it's got a bad history. But I got treated better in Missouri than I did in Mississippi than I did in Missouri. In Missouri, they didn't care if you were in uniform. They wanted to throw rocks and all kinds of stuff at you. Sometimes you got it. Yeah, you know, look at the Tuskegee Airmen, like Butterfly said. It's a rough thing for black vets. You don't get that. I'm trying to locate this other link to where a lot of these black vets are in South Carolina.
That's true.
That these guys were constantly being harassed. Constantly. And there was another thing, just like I was talking about with the family medical leave, that these guys were trying to go ahead and get protected, extra protection, because they're executive order to protect us. But these guys were trying to also get extra protection on the final medical leave, and they were denied, and they were being harassed. And same thing over there that Kenny was talking about earlier with the hangman's noose. You know, they had that around this time. Yeah.
Did anybody take pictures?
Yeah, this one, I'm trying to find the link. This one actually.
See, no, in the military, they keep all that stuff quiet. They try to keep it as quiet as possible.
These guys were civilians. These were working for the government. Okay?
Yeah.
And they wind up going ahead and losing their jobs for some of the same stuff that I've been trying to. We were talking about earlier. So, there was one news crew that came out and did a story on it. But I haven't heard anything else about it. Nothing, and that was over in South Carolina, which is a hardcore military.
Yeah, there. There you are.
Live right. Military down there, and you'd be surprised that that was happening then.
Yeah, and that's why I said now it's just worse since, you know,
yeah,
we have a black president. It's even harder now to do anything because. You know, man, they're going to get you one way or another.
I sent also a link. I sent a lot of letters to Obama's office about my situation.
Doesn't care. I mean, I hate to say that, but, you know, I mean,
you see the letter.
See Obama's not really trying to address it. I mean, you've been better off to send it to Eric Holden. Or even Michael Steele. I mean, Michael Steele is at least coming out, and he's speaking against things. You know, speaking against the things that are happening to black people. Whereas, you know.
Yeah. Well, if you get to your computer, I found that link.
I did, and you know what? It told me that there was a problem. I was timed out due to inactivity, so refreshing it now so I can come back in.
Yeah, I put this other link, this news story that was up. This was the only, and this was a couple of years ago, and this was only news coverage that this story got. It didn't get any airtime. It didn't get any airtime when they were talking about vets. It didn't get any airtime. I mean, any more airtime.
Yeah, see, that's something that, honestly and truly, we have to do something about is when it comes to our news, you know,
right.
Things that are happening to us, especially now that we do have a black president, because white people are watching to see what's going on in our neighborhoods. You know, it's like all of a sudden now they're interested, you know, well, how do black people really live? You know, what is really going on, you know? And you know, now is the time that it really has to be brought out before we lose that opportunity.
I hope so.
You know, we really and truly have to get it out there. Because
yeah,
we're not getting nowhere. Like I said, I want to start doing these parties because if I sit and watch the news or pick up a paper or listen to something on the radio or something, I see that they throw these great parties for the white soldiers, but you know, this is welcoming them us home. Nobody. You know, except your family and maybe some friends may throw a party.
Do you have a blog?
Do I have a blog?
Yes.
Not really. I don't. I'm trying to put it up. I'm trying to get somebody to help me do that.
Talk to Pundit. Because honestly and truly, the government has hit my blog a couple of times.
What do you mean hit your blog?
Where they've read my blog.
How do you know? Because
it'll show. Because it'll show up United States. You know, whereas with everybody else, it comes up, you know, like city and state. And when the government hits it, it's United States.
Okay.
And Pundit told me that's the government hitting it.
Okay,
so
has there been any action on your blog?
What do you mean action?
Reading your blog, have they go ahead and given you any response to go ahead and deal with your situation?
Well, I haven't written about myself personally,
mm-hmm.
you know, just things that bother me. You know, like I wrote about the stem cell research because that bothered me.
Okay.
And I had people from all over the world, from different countries and everything that has came to my blog. You know, from Mexico, Spain, France.
So where's
France.
Your blog?
Wait a minute, now I'll get you the link.
I'll put it up.
Oh, you got it. Thank you, Spicy.
Okay.
And ask Pundit because he, you know, that is something that, you know, he pushes for all of us to do. And that was something that he pushed for me to do, but he walked me through it on setting it up and everything.
Okay, well, he banned me, though.
Well, you know what? You know that's only for a day.
I know. I get back with him.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, send him an email and tell him.
Okay.
I'll send him an email and tell him that, you know, you want to do a blog. You need to do a blog. Yeah, because that is important. That, you know, I mean, and I didn't realize how important it was until I looked at my last blog and I seen I had like 50 hits. You know, almost like 50 hits. And as I said, I got it from different countries and everything. So, you know, yours is about the military, so you know they're gonna watch it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
You're saying that, you know, you're being mistreated, you know, you're not getting your rights, and, you know, when that's something that's going to hit. Yeah, thank you, Spicy.
All right, I'll go ahead and send him some pornos in a minute.
Lord.
No, don't send no pornos. Well, please don't send no pornos to me.
Exactly.
You know what? I think it was one time I put my address in the chat room, and you know now somebody sends me porno.
Really?
Oh, what in the world I want to see that mess for?
No, I'm not going to do that. I got real good issues to bring up. I just need somebody to go ahead and listen to them because I don't think, especially from what my views of what I see dealing with veterans. You know, not when I find out a friend of mine's taking his life and stuff like that. Another friend of mine that we had went through a lot of things together, and I knew he had cancer before he got out, and this was some years ago. And he was they couldn't wait to get him. Couldn't wait to get him out of there. They sent him home right away. Within 5 months, he was dead from the cancer.
You know, I know years ago, I mean, and this has been a long, long, long time ago. It was right at the Vietnam War. And my uncle had came home from the Vietnam War. The next day that he was home, he was standing outside, and he got hit by a car, and he lost his leg. It may have even been the same day that he got home. And he had to fight to get, you know, his for him to still be covered under the VA. And at first they were saying no because it didn't happen while he was, you know, overseas. But, you know, even though you come home, you're still not released.
No, because for most times, you're still not totally. You're still obligated to that contract for a few more years a lot of times. I'm not sure about how they did it in Vietnam.
You still owe Uncle Sam so much time, even though you've been sent home.
And it
took a fight. It was a fight. You know, my family got lawyers, and
right.
I was a little girl then, so don't think I was a grown woman during that time, because I wasn't. But I remember, you know, my family fought.
But when you go,
my
when
uncle
he,
to get his right.
When he came off active duty, a lot of times, you're still supposed to be covered. There's another term he got for it. You're still supposed to be. I don't remember it right off the bat. And then there's several ways you can get out. What I did was I had saved a lot of my leave time and still wind up coming home like 4 months early. So anyway,
my uncle was home. He was home. You know,
yeah.
He was at my grandparents' house. So he was home. But it just, you know, so happened that I got hit by a car.
Hmm.
And he lost his leg behind it, and it was they had to fight to get it.
Mental put in the chat room. I agree with him 100%. You know, I was in the Army, and I was in the Army first, then I was in the Navy, and it's all the same. They all the same. They all full of the same BS, man. They all full of the same stuff.
Yeah, my dad was in the Army. He was a corporal or something. That was when we lived in Arkansas.
It's all the same stuff. They treat you crappy. But the problem that I'm having now, since I'm not on active duty, I'm seeing that a whole lot of these the things that's supposed to be set aside to help us and
it's out to hurt you.
Yeah, they flip them around just like with my last employer. They flip it around to try to hurt me. And they really can't. So that's why they're prolonging this whole thing about us going to court.
Yeah. But that's the reason why I said, you know, put it on blog. Blog about it, because they do, you know, they do read it. You know, do you remember it had came on the news not too long ago, maybe about a month or two, that Obama reads what is negative about him?
How does he know what's negative?
Pardon me?
How does he know what's negative?
Well, if somebody says something negative, then those are the blogs that he reads.
Okay.
You know, he's more interested in what the negative is. You know, so right now, the negative is, you know, Barack Obama is not paying attention to the veterans, and not the veterans from World War II. You know, the veterans from these current wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Desert Storm, because I remember it was something that came out from the Desert Storm where different people, because of the sand or something, they called it some kind of syndrome that people had got from being over in Desert Storm.
I can't remember that, but I know my cousin's got some stuff. He's got some stuff growing on his arms.
I know it was something that and even with the people over in Iraq, it's, you know, Iraq or Iran, wherever it is, that it's different things that are going on there with people. I'm sorry, Spicy.
Didn't say it was similar to Agent Orange syndrome when they came back from Vietnam and Korean War. It was something similar to that.
It was something. I can't remember. I know my...
Something with the skin. Because I know my nephew complains about it now, and he was over in Iraq. You know, he said it's something about the skin where it's, you know, it's just a constant thing. You know, where, you know, but they... And they call themselves treating it. You know, no, give you antibiotics and give you ointment and stuff, but then it continuously comes back.
It seems like the ointment's irritated or... Makes it
worse.
Makes it worse, Yeah.
Yeah. Get some black seed oil. And Mental Records, what do you mean blogging you will end up like Ron Brown? Who is Ron Brown?
Ron Brown was that politician that got killed. I think he was in a plane crash. I think that was him. Or was that Leland?
I don't know.
So Ron Brown was killed. He was a politician, a black politician that they didn't like. They didn't care for. And I can't remember. It was, I can't remember the exact thing. I can't remember the reason why he was, but he was killed. They would give you Motrin for.
They'll give you Motrin for open chest wound.
Oh, he was shot in the head. Wow.
Yeah, he was in a plane crash. He was in a
plane crash. Okay, that's what he's saying.
Probably, when they found his body, he had a bullet wound to his head. Now I remember. When they came upon the wreckage, it was a bullet hole in his head.
Wow.
Right.
I mean, you know, we have to do something. They're killing us anyway. I mean, and believe me, I don't want to die. Not right now. But I still got kids and, you know, grandbabies and, you know, and I want to see mine grow up and grow to their full potential, and I want to live a long life.
Be at their 40th wedding anniversary?
Yeah, you know, I want to see it all. I want to see my great-grandchildren.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to see it all.
They're putting systems
in place. But it's, you know, we got to stand up. If we don't, then... Look, when you got the prisons that are privately owned, that's nothing but slavery.
Right, it is.
You know, the slave masters owned property. They owned the people. So the prisons, they own the prison. That's property. They own the people.
Yeah.
That's in them prisons.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, so the only thing that we're doing is we're allowing ourselves to be set back into slavery. You know, we got to do something.
Yeah.
You know, we got to do something. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what else to really say to do, because, believe me, it bothers me so much, because I look at, I'm a black mother that's on disability. And Lord, you know, I have two grown sons. And what's going to happen to my, you know, they're grown. They grown men, but they're still my babies. And I worry about all of that. You know, I worry about my daughter who's in high school. And even the thought, you know, she wants to go to college and everything, and I don't want to hold her back from her dream, but, you know, I'm still like, oh, God, this. Terrible out here. I don't know if I want her to go to college or not. And then I look at my granddaughter, you know, who's biracial, and I'm like, man, you know, it's just.
It's a rough world out here.
Yeah.
Rough world.
You know, and not only is she biracial, but she's the type that could pass because she doesn't look black at all.
But you can't go ahead and shield them for what's happening in the world, though.
No, and that's what I know that I can't do, you know, so it's just, Lord, they go at the door, and I'm praying. You know, my boys don't live with me, but I'm just, oh, God, please let them be okay. You know what I mean? But it's just something that I worry about. You know, I constantly worry.
You should.
Know, Lord, let my kids be okay. You know, I cover them with the blood of Jesus. I know everybody's not a Christian, and I'm not trying to put my Christian values on you. I'm saying what I do. And, you know, just try to stay focused. And it's not easy. I mean, there's things at times when I blog and I'm like, oh, my gosh, should I really have said that? You know, oh, my goodness, what, you know. But then also I feel, okay, if I don't say anything, then I'm just as bad as them that are doing it.
You gotta keep your head in the game, though. You know, a lot of times.
Yeah,
a lot
you know
of,
what I mean? You gotta stand for something or you'll fall for everything.
Right.
And, you know, when my thing is kids, you know, I have a thing about kids. You know, keep the kids protected. And, you know, we have too many innocent people or even people that are not innocent but they just been in there too long.
Right.
And, you know, okay, let's make it equal. And if somebody has to go to jail, then all this stuff that goes on in the jail is not necessary.
No,
there shouldn't be rapes. There shouldn't be rapes and all this in the jail. You know, if you see somebody has that problem, then you need to put them somewhere where you just have all sexual offenders or whatever. I mean, I don't know, but it's just too much stuff that is allowed to just be continued. But then we hollered and screamed about Guantanamo Bay. But we have this stuff right here.
Right, right, right.
You know, and it's no outcry on how the prisoners in the United States are being treated.
It's
you know, and now they're saying that they don't even have enough to really properly feed them. You don't have enough to properly feed them, but you are using them to make different products out here for us, but you can't feed them, and you're feeding them, you're paying them pennies on the dollar. Dude, they should be eating better than what we are.
Let me put this. I got another link I want to. You need to look at this link. This link I'm going to put in the chat room. It's about those judges in Philadelphia selling these kids to the private prisons. Did you see that?
Yeah,
one?
Wasn't that terrible?
Was it
in Pennsylvania? I thought it was in New Jersey. Maybe it's another one, but I thought it was in Jersey. I just clicked on it.
That's one of them. Let me try to find the rest of them, because it seems like that wasn't the only one. I think that it must have been several.
Yeah, that's why I said it was one in Jersey. Do you get the Southern Hate News, Southern Watch Hate News?
No.
Oh, okay. Here you go.
Well, now, Spicy, now you know. That is no... Spicy knows that is no joke. Now, is it Spicy?
No. Here you go.
No, I'm going to send it to you.
Wait
a minute.
I'll be there. We should see it. And, ooh. Man, listen. Y'all keep it up.
No, see, you just don't know. When you...
Ooh, I don't know.
No, I'm not saying you, Spicy.
No, wait. He's on.
But I'm just saying that when they are just, they tell you what's going on around the country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get it where I can get the whole thing up. That just makes me so, oh.
And it's Southern Hate News?
It's the Hate Watch Headlines.
Hate
Southern
Watch
Poverty Hate Law Center.
Oh, the Southern Poverty. Oh, they went after the Klan years ago.
Yeah, well, they still going after it.
Yeah, they got some big-time lawyers. I know they, that's what I think. I think that's the group that I saw they were going. They continue to go after the Klan. Continuously.
Yep.
They were breaking the Klan down. And they've been around for a few years. They've been breaking the Klan down for a long time. And the thing that I saw that really interested me was really catching my attention. It was a lot of whites that started.
Yeah. And they, because they, you know, they're always showing you what, they show you what's going on, you know, what's going on around the world, even when it comes to the white folks that are, you know, I mean, well, you know, most of the time it is white folks, but you can get the map and everything to go to it. The map to show you what organizations are in your area.
Mm. And it's the Southern, what's the Southern Hate Watch? What did you say again?
Wait a minute.
The Poverty Law Center.
Thank you, Spicy.
Southern Poverty Law Center?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
And they have a news thing that goes out every week. And it's the Southern Poverty Law, but it's the hate groups. See, I'm saying it again wrong. Now, see, y'all have to forgive me. You know, I have a problem with my memory.
That's okay. I do, too.
So I do. I suffer from short term, so
don't worry
I can
about
remember
it.
Things for a minute or so, but.
Isn't it?
Huh?
Stop it.
Well, Spicy, look, I'd rather tell it than, you know, for somebody to think
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Stop.
I beg you. Look, Miss Spicy.
Don't stop.
I love you, darling, but come on now.
I'm going to bring up my dear. Cut it out.
Yes, ma'am.
I told you, there's no reason to apologize. They either going to accept you for who you are, or they don't accept you, and that's on them. You don't have
yeah.
to please everybody, just like I don't. And I'm not trying to. You either like me or you don't. But I could.
Okay.
Call.
Okay, Spicy. There's the contact, the link there. Now, mine is not the result of token mental records. Mine is the result of having two brain aneurysms, one that erupted the first one, and then I had another one 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't token.
Look, don't go there, cause I have so, okay.
The Southern Law Center, they only got offices in the South or they nationwide?
I believe that they are nationwide. They say the paper is called, you know what, do you have an email address?
Yeah, I put it in the chat.
Okay, that would just be easier. And that way I can send it to you and you can forward it to everyone else here so that they can get it if they would like to. Because
you
can subscribe to it. You have. Spicy, I send it to you every week.
I know.
And you be like all shooky-shooky. There you go starting something.
Yeah. you go. All
right, I put my email in the chat.
Okay. I'm getting ready to. Well, I thought I was going to copy it.
Yeah, I'm really, you know, there's a whole lot of issues that we have as a community. And one, I'm trying to do my part in going ahead and helping dealing with the veterans I know that's out here. Because it shouldn't be.
Yeah, and it's a lot of them, you know, which is sad because they need help, too. You know, the vets need help.
The thing about it is that they have some limited help and this and that, but it's how we get the information. You know, it's hard
yeah.
that information. You know, just like when I was going through the whole process of going in and coming off active duty, I didn't learn a whole lot of stuff until I got out and I had been out for a few years. And some of these white cats, they knew right away. They had a lot of people teaching them and a lot of people on the inside showing them stuff. We did.
Rob.
Oh.
Oh, you got it, Spicy?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Let me see the room.
I see it. Okay. That is good, Spicy. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
See, Spicy, I'm trying to be nice.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Spicy, no, you know I would never do that.
Yeah, man.
See, Spicy.
I'm being like pungent.
You see, I know. You're just ganging up against me.
Again?
Well, no. I stood up for you before. Now I'm getting on you.
Isn't Dale in here?
Yeah. Hey.
Is Dale here?
Looking around somewhere.
He's lurking around somewhere. Not
here
right
oh,
now.
I thought Dale.
I can hear them on.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to check with them. I'm going to go ahead and see what they can do for me.
Yeah. Okay, now. Wait a minute. I'm sending
it. I want to see if they would go ahead and be a part of my thing to deal with vets and stuff.
Okay, now I send it to you. Now check to see if you, if I did it right, if I sent it right.
Oh, in here.
Huh?
Do you see, I'm asking a question because I'm kind of, remember I told you, it said I bought the new printer?
Yes.
Do you think I did good? Because I told somebody before you, and all I can hear in my head is them saying, you tell me after 390 days if it's still working. This one here.
Oh, that's their guarantee?
No, it was a floor model. So
it was a floor model, and you paid full price for it? Didn't you
no.
tell me it was $100 and some?
He gave me a $17 discount because it was originally $47. So he gave me a $17 discount. So I paid $37
for it. Oh, okay. Well, that's not bad. You know, really, what's gonna cost you the most is just keeping the ink up, because the ink is what's expensive.
Unless you get them refilled.
Yeah. And that's like half price. And since everything's so expensive up in New York, I would suggest that you get them refilled.
Yeah, that's not too bad. But yeah, it was something else I thought of. You worked at EEOC.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you an opportunity to sue. If let's just suppose everything went into your favor. They give you the opportunity to sue or do what, or what the outcome is, what I'm trying to get at. You understand what I mean?
It all depends on the case.
Okay.
It all depends on the case. Now, there has been cases where they were sued. It was cases where the head people resigned, and that person was guaranteed their job no matter what. And, I mean, there was one, the last big one that I handled, they had, the woman was on the job, you know, and it's been 10 years. The person who was, you know, who harassed her was no longer there, but one of their friends was there, and they were in a big position, and they started harassing her because of what, you know, because of the former person.
Oh,
and
they just passed it on. They're like retaliation.
Yeah. And it was a really big case, and that was something that, you know, we had to go back through the records on, and, you know, it was a, you know, because when you go to do things like that, you got to make sure that all your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed. Make sure that you're doing everything that you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
I saw a video. The video was trying to give you hints and clues on how to go ahead and win your discrimination case.
And
The video, it was informative. But there was the thing that really killed me was the person in the video kept saying it's hard to prove your discrimination.
It is. Because everything is looked against. I mean, there was some, honestly and truly, it was one I remember where, because a lot of them, I would do the screening before I would even give it to my boss.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one where, being a woman, you know, I just knew, you know, wait a minute, something's not right with this one.
Yes.
And the woman was, you know, the woman was saying this man was harassing her.
Mm-hmm.
you know, sexually harassing her, but just the way how she made, you know, just automatically he just was coming out just touching her in her private areas.
Touching her?
And, yeah, you know, and I was like, wait a minute. Well, her husband had started working there with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to my boss, I said, mm-mm, I bet you she was having an affair with this man.
Mm-hmm.
And just, come to find out, that's exactly what it was.
She was trying to hide it from her husband.
Yep.
Okay.
You know, because I told him, I said, nobody is going to put their job on the line and openly do that, not just come in from the beginning and just do that. You know, it's more to it. You know, something's done transpired between them.
Oh. That sounds crazy.
For it just to happen like that.
That sounds crazy.
You know, but she was automatically filing suit. You know, and I told my boss, I said, nope, I don't believe it. Something's not right with that. And then, you know, then you have some that is just, every couple of months, you know, which is a shame. This is what makes it hard on our people, where every couple of months they were coming in with a different suit. They were following. And it just got to the point where, you know, I just knew to start having to file just already made up for them, just waiting.
Mm.
Because I knew they were coming. You know, okay, this is about the time. That this is the time that they come and start, you know, getting it ready. And sure enough, you know, he will call and it will be, you know, the lamest thing, you know, where, oh, okay. You know, and even my boss would just be, oh, did he call today? Like, yep. And my boss was black.
Okay, so hold on a minute. Okay, well, my show's about to end, but I want you to stay on the line. This truth. Chef Rob, this is my show. Hope everybody liked it. I got Antoinette on the line and Spicy. Antoinette,
yes.
You see, with my guy Kenny,
mm-hmm.
Now he's going ahead and calling those things in a lot. And I've witnessed a lot of the things that he said. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just wondering, see, what you said. I'm trying to figure out if somebody's saying the same thing here when he sends in those, and he calls in those cases. Because he has a lot of EEO cases in the system, but he's not an attorney. You know, he's got, like, paralegals working for him. They got a cute little organization coming. But I think that since he's been, and he's been doing it for, like, I think about 6 years now. Six, maybe seven years. So there are people on this end, he'll probably say the same thing. Oh, here comes that guy Kenny again. He's calling.
Yeah,
most-
then more than like, yes, especially if he's not coming with witnesses, you know, as I said, documentation that you have to keep everything documented. You know, every time you have a conversation, even when you call the EEOC, you know, mm-hmm. Who did you speak to? You know, what time did you call? You know, if you reported this so many times, you know, okay, well, I reported this on this date, this time. I spoke to this one, I spoke to that one. You know, you have to show where you are showing consistency. But if you're not showing consistency and it's, oh, well, I talked to him several. No, I don't know who I was talking to, but I was talking to some lady. You know, well, okay, you know. That could have been anybody. You know, I could have been off that day. You know, you could have got, you know, somebody from a different department. So you have to know who you're speaking to. You know, if you couldn't catch their name, they said it too fast, you couldn't spell it, you know, ask them, well, how do I spell your name?
See, that was the thing with Ken, because he's learned a lot, okay? I know.
Mm-hmm.
I was with them watching a whole lot of times. They've learned a whole lot. You know, they lost a few cases in the beginning. That's something they didn't
tell
you. But they did win quite a few cases. And
yeah, so, you know, just keep going, but just make sure that you're consistent.
Yeah.
You know, you're consistent. You document everything. Documentation is the most important thing that you can ever do for any case. For anything that you're dealing with in business, you always document who you spoke to, the time that you called. You know, if you called this time, you know, that's your first time, you know, put on there, you know, just a little circle, you know, one. If you have to make that call again, you know, put on there, you know, second time, you know, so that way you're building up where you can show this is consistent. No, I'm not just calling just to complain just for the sake of complaining. You know, I'm calling because this is a consistent problem.
Yeah,
and that gets attention. You know, this person that I was talking about, every time you turned around, it was just, you know, his was just anything he can grasp in the air.
Okay.
It didn't even make any sense. You know, it didn't make any sense. I mean, he would call in and I was late 10 or 15 minutes and I got rolled up. And that wasn't fair. And they rolled their eyes at me. You know, okay. You know what I mean? It was stupid things like that. Well, they don't like me because I'm black. Okay, well, there's 15 other black people in there with you, but I'm not getting any calls from them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's things like that that makes a difference. You know, if you're calling, tell me, okay, well, I got in trouble because I'm late. But then when we go and it gets investigated and we see that, okay, well, you're documented and you signed that you were late four or five times that week, coming into work, coming back from lunch. You know, okay, well, they're doing what they're supposed to do. You know, they're supposed to document you. They're supposed to, you know, talk to you, put you on a verbal warning or whatever. That is your responsibility to be back on time, to show up on time for work. You know, if you're not doing your job, and it's a consistent thing, because keep in mind, they are consistently documenting everything that you do.
Right.
So you have to be just as diligent and document everything that they do against you so that you can prove your case. Because you best better believe they're going to pull out everything that you did wrong.
Yeah, I've worked with Ken, and a few times I've sat in on some of these meetings and then, like, going through the grievance process. And it's like, with that crew, majority of them, they're going to come in with all the stuff you've done wrong, but their paperwork's going to be screwed up 90% of the time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to have their facts together. They're going to rearrange a whole lot of stuff, and we've seen this a whole lot of times. They've lied under oath several times. I was sitting there when they
were. But that's the reason why you keep your paperwork together.
Right.
You see, and you have it dated and timed. You know, whenever you go to make a phone call, you have your tablet and everything down. You know, you take notes while you're talking.
Right.
You know, you have to have everything together. Because when you go up against them, you have to show where this is on a consistent basis. This is not just, you know, a one-time thing. And then they're going to say, well, you know, just as I said, you know, was in my office when the investigators went out. You know, first thing they did was, let me show you their job performance. This is why. You know, they're calling you and telling you that they got rolled up because they're black. Well, I also did diversity reports. So I know how many black people are in, you know, whatever area, what their pay is. And, you know, you have to have so many black people in key positions that make, you know, so much money, you know, in different pay scales. So, okay, what is it that you're doing? Because I'm looking at the diversity report, and I see how many blacks are in your office. I see how many minorities are in that section. You know, because, you know, I mean, and these are everything that is looked at. You know, and okay, so then when it comes to, you know, you're telling me you wrote up because you were late, well, that's going to be checked. And then when you sign it, you know, you sign the paper that you were late, and you were late, you know, a continuous time, how can you be upset because you got rolled up?
Yeah, I've come across that quite a few times.
Yeah, but see, these are things that, you know, and that's why I said there is some people that try to use it for their own advantage, not because they were wronged. You know, but it's just, okay, let me get over.
Yeah.
And that makes it harder for the people that are truly going through and being discriminated upon, that are, you know, females that are getting smacked in the behind, or, you know, somebody, you know, sexually harassing them. Because you have people that are just, oh, well, I don't like my boss today, you know, or something like that, or my husband's here, so he can't no longer flirt with me and I can't flirt back. You know, I mean, I'm serious, but these are the things, these are the kind of cases that come to the EEOC.
Really?
Yes. It's not all just, you know, that's the reason why I said you have to document. You know, honestly and truly, I worked harder for people that came in and had their I's dotted and their T's crossed. Those are the ones that I went to my boss and I really pushed. And I went to the investigators and really pushed for.
Okay.
Because they documented everything. And when you take the time to document it, and you have times, you have dates, you have names, you know, how many times this has happened and everything else, how many times you've contacted my office, how many times you told me, without me having to pull out my file, you know, where you're showing this to me, and then when I pull out my file and I see it, you know, yes, you did call me on this day. And yes, I did tell you such and such. You know, okay, well, I see in my notes that I, you know, I did this or I did that. You know, or I called you back, you didn't return my call. You see?
Yeah.
Because I had to keep my records up to par, because if they went to court, I still had to prove my end.
Hmm. Yeah, that's, I would like to sit in on the process, though, because like I said, he got a few cases in. Ken has, they have a few cases in, they won some, lost some. But I want to sit on the other side.
Yeah, you know, so that's why, you know, honestly and truly, you know, for anybody going for any kind of case, you know, I mean, even in housing and things like that, you know, you have to document everything. You know, when it comes to landlord-tenant, document, you know, you call your landlord because something's not fixed, document it. How many times did you have to document it? How many times, you know, how long did it take before they came?
Oh,
you know,
so
you have to document everything. You know, you have to learn to be a record keeper.
So you've dealt with landlord-tenant cases also?
I did that because I used to live in Section 8 property. So we had some problems in our neighborhood, and where, you know, I went to cases where, you know, I met with the state and everything. You know, this is what's going on. And we documented everything. You know, how many times did we have to call? You know, how many times did we call the landlord behind this? You know, I remember one time we got a letter. You know, and it's a shame because I still have the letter to this day, and I don't even live there anymore. And I got to clean out my briefcase and throw that stuff out. Where they sent us a letter. Our manager has sent us a letter stating that we were pigs.
You were what?
Pigs. P-I-G-S, and gave us a pig pen award.
Really?
Not for our apartments, but because of the hallways. And I was mad because it was not in my hallway. But those are things that we used. you know, wrote down the date that we got it and everything else and presented it. And you know what? We got rid of that management company. You know, so for everything, you have to document.
I'm going to work on it. I was just trying to go ahead and run through this blog, trying to get me a blog right quick.
Yeah, but honestly and truly, you know, if you talk to Pundit, he will help you with that. You know, that's one thing that he pushes for, is for people to have blogs.
Okay, I'm going to work on that one because from my end, I really think I want to deal with that. Antoinette, I was glad you showed up. And we need to have this conversation before because there's a lot of stuff I want to grill you on, a few more things. I'm going to try and get few more people online next time. So did you send me an email?
Yes, I did. So could you check it now to make sure that you got it?
Yeah, let me see where it's at.
Make sure that I did it right.
Oh, sure.
Before Spicy starts fussing at me.
Checking it now.
Okay.
I don't see it.
Okay, you told me www, right?
Right. It's Bantu Chef.
Is it?
Huh?
Type the email. Don't put the www. When it says to BantuChef@hotmail.com.
Oh, okay. All right, well, let me go back in and do it again. See, I was going by what he said. Okay, so I'm gonna do it again. Pardon me?
I typed it in the chat room.
Yeah, but you put the WW in and Spicy said don't put that in.
Because
okay. It don't go through us. Even though, you know, that's what it is, it don't go through. So you drop the WW and you put the name of the person. @hotmail@yahoo.com/ and it goes right through.
Okay, so I'm taking that out. And see, I'm glad I asked you to check.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, let me. I'm getting ready to send it off to you again. I just wanted to change it out of there like that. Okay, I know the contact is created. All right.
You did it?
I'm doing it now.
I see that Dale's got a show. I was going to go over to his show for a little while and show some support.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm co-hosting tomorrow night.
With Dale?
Yep.
Okay, I'll try to get there because I know I'm going to get drunk earlier.
No. Help me, please. Father, have mercy.
My mother always said that growing up.
What, have mercy?
Oh,
yes,
Lord.
Yes.
Oh, that's them, him. But she had, you know, she had 8 kids, so she kept saying that a lot.
Look, I say it. I say, look, my grandmother used to say, Lord, save us, child. And I find now that I say it too. Lord, save us. Because my grandma used to say it. I would be talking to her. She would be like, Lord, save us, child.
Yeah, we got my grandparents were kind of loony.
No, my grandparents were look. My grandparents were old when I was born. Okay, my grandpa was born in 1900. My grandma was born in 1910.
Wow.
So when I was born, they were old.
Okay.
Mm. They were. I was born in 62. So as you can see, they were already old.
My mom's mother was born about that time, too. She was older. Grandfather was.
Yeah, so it's just...
My father's mom was, she's younger, and she had, and what they used to, what she used to tell me about her and my grandfather's relationship, he said, oh, no, this ain't no love no more. This is a business now.
This a who?
A business.
See, my grandmother, she said, I need his money, he need my money, so that's why we stick together.
Mm-hmm. it was nice. What I think I really admired about my grandparents, both sets, is that my grandparents, my father's parents, they were married for 62 years until my grandfather died. And my grandfather died in 93. And I remember when my dad died, and we were having a memorial service for him. And my pop-pop, he had said, you know, he was looking for my grandma. And he, you know, had asked us, y'all see Mark? Where's Mark at? And, you know, when my grandma came out, you know, my pop-pop was, you know, making sure she was okay and, you know, helping her in the car. And I just thought that was so sweet, you know, after all of them years, you know, that. And then I remember my mother's parents. One time, my grandpa was going somewhere, maybe to the racetrack or something, he was going to the racetrack. And my grandma kissed him, and I just thought that was just so sweet. You know, after all of them years, I'm like, wow, you know, just different things you just remember, you know, just when it comes to older people. I'm like, wow, after all them years, you know, grown kids, grandchildren, grown are almost grown, and, you know, you still see that compassion and caring there, and I just thought that was just wonderful. I was like, oh, that is just beautiful.
It's touching when you see them go ahead and show some emotion, but I didn't see I never seen my mother's parents get together yet because her father died years earlier. It was a business. I ain't never seen them kiss. I never seen them hug, hold hands. I seen my grandfather hit my grandmother. I seen my grandmother hit my grandfather more. You know, they would swing at each other. But it would be like, yeah, I slap you, you slap me. Okay, then you want some coffee?
No, see, I never saw that. I was fortunate, but I never saw that. But
okay.
My grandmother, my mother's mother, she died when I was in the ninth grade.
Oh, okay.
And
It was always funny with us, man. Like, we used to laugh. Like, we would look at each other like, we just, you know, they didn't say nothing else. You know, okay, you want a sandwich? You hungry? It used to be amazing.
I remember two cases where both sets of grandparents had took off for me. I know my grandmother, she wanted me to eat cabbage. And I was a picky eater. Cabbage or beans, I think it must have been beans. And I didn't want any beans. And my pop-pop said, Mark, leave the child alone. I don't like cabbage. Leave her alone. She says she don't eat it. My grandma, she don't like nothing. You know, she's such a picky eater. My pop says, just leave her alone. She'll eat.
Yeah.
And I remember with my mother's parents, I had started drinking coffee because my aunts would sneak and give it to me. And I wanted some coffee, and my mother was standing there. And my mother said no. And my grandmother said, Louise, let her have the coffee. It's not going to hurt anything. Let her have it. And my mom had to back down. Oh, Lord, I loved it. And I got the coffee.
Never really drank. Your email came. I see. I'm looking at it. This is
oh,
crazy.
Good.
Oh.
This is crazy. This is crazy. This is, oh, yeah. Let me see if they can add to the stuff that Ken and I was talking about.
Yeah, see, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, let me see. I'll try and contact them. I'm going to run over to Dale.
Pardon
me? I'll say I'm going to run over to Dale's show for a little while.
Okay, and also contact Pundit about doing a blog.
I'm gonna start looking at it and try to do something screwy with it first off. Then I'm gonna call. You got his number? Give him a call for me. I email him.
Well, I am. I'm not gonna call him this time of night though.
I know. But yeah, let me run
I
over
have
there.
Respect for people's families and wives and stuff like that now.
Now you do that?
Damn.
I always done that.
Oh, you said now, like you didn't do it before.
Oh, no. Well, I'm sorry. I said that the wrong way. No, that's always been the case. I don't disrespect nobody's family.
I'm just joking.
No, look, I've had mine disrespected and everything else where, you know, it just doesn't fly.
Yeah,
so
I understand.
I just don't do that.
And I didn't mean no harm. I didn't mean no harm.
No, that's okay. That is quite all right. Well, all
right, I'm in my show right now.
Tomorrow, y'all.
Give him some support over there. Then I got to go
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
You know what I made today? I made a nice coffee cake and some other barbecues today. Y'all should have came for dinner.
You're all the way in Illinois. I'm in Delaware.
And I'm in New York. I'm a girl there.
Now, even though I've been craving something sweet all day long.
You know what? I'm gonna. Hopefully they didn't eat too much of it. I'm going to take a picture and put it on my website.
I don't want to see no pictures on to make me hungrier.
I'm trying to eat now.
See, now he wants somebody to go out in the kitchen and cook. He going to make me go and bake a cake.
I'm not cooking for Lord.
No, well, see, remember I told you my other son is up, my pretend son. And the twins will be here tomorrow. So I have the twins and my granddaughter.
Antoinette, do you do shows sometimes?
No.
Okay.
I tease Pundit when I say that. I always tell him I'm going to start a show and call it Band of Pundit.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to do that at 12. Hopefully he's up.
Yeah, because he was supposed to have another show at 10. I don't know what happened.
I'll probably do it tomorrow.
I mean, he may still be up. I mean, I don't, you know, I can't speak for what he's doing.
No.
Well, I can't speak for what anybody's doing. Lord, I'm home. I'm in my house.
I understand. All right, I'm going to go show some support. I'm glad you guys came. And I need to go ahead and talk to you some more because Antoinette, you know a lot about the EEO stuff. So you will get an email from me to let you know when I'm doing the next show on the family medical leave and EEO because I think they're kind of related topics.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry I wasn't as much help as y'all were expecting, but
no,
only give you what I know.
You're pretty good help. You're pretty good help. Yeah, I'm glad. So I'll be doing, because I was trying to do shows like this on like Mondays and Fridays. So I'm gonna keep that schedule in case some, because this week I really couldn't do too much. I had a couple of emergency things I had to take care of.
Yeah, well,
but,
just make sure that it doesn't, you know, as long as it doesn't, what is the word? And it's a simple word. It doesn't conflict with Pundit Show, because, you know,
I know.
Pundit Show.
A lot of times I do mine at, 9 Central, you know, 10 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, and his show is 10 o'clock show.
Okay. Well, it might be about this time, or maybe a little bit earlier. But you get an email. Y'all get invite.
Yeah.
I got your stuff. You too, Spicy. I see you at Dale's show.
Okay.
Right. Well, thank you very much. I really enjoyed your show, though.
Thank you. Thank you for showing up. It wouldn't have been a show without you guys.
No, you would have did just fine.
No, I'd be nervous.
No. And I'm still waiting for my recipes.
Oh, what kind you need? Real quick, before we go, what kind you need? I go ahead and whip some.
I need something for vegetables because I'm not a big vegetable person.
Any particular region?
Lazy.
Reason? I said region. Region.
Oh.
Asian, African, Central America, South America.
Okay. Let me make it easy for you. Look, I don't like sauces. I don't like mayonnaise. I don't like salad dressing. I don't like vinegar. I don't like soy sauce. You know, I eat You know, I eat a salad, and it's a plain salad. I just don't like that kind of stuff.
Okay,
and I don't put anything on it.
That's
I just
a challenge.
Eat it like that.
That's going to give me a day for that one. Give me a couple of days for that one. I got to think.
Okay, but I'm.
Okay, what about?
You know, I don't like.
Okay, what about like a like some kind of fruit juice type vinaigrette type stuff? You don't like vinegar?
No, because it has vinegar. I don't eat vinegar.
Oh, see that? That's why
don't
I
don't like vinegar.
So the citrus. Give me a few days. I mean, let me see you at Dale's show. Give me a few days. I'll have something for you.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, spicy.
You shouldn't send me mine either, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. A lot of things have been happening.
And you can send me the recipe for the coffee cake. I may have to go and make one now.
Oh, damn. That's so cool. Damn.
Look, I'm not going to make anything. I'm going to go out here and clean up because kids got to the house.
Yeah, I understand. All right, I'll see you guys later.
Okay, bye. It was nice. It was very nice.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Spicy?
Yeah?
I have to call Spicy.
Okay.